Yes, we have hopes here and now, and God is good to His Word, but we must never forget our main hope is there, and then at the place and time when all things are made new, and I will be new. You and all who are included in the name of Jesus Christ will be new creatures.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And again, good morning. And I join Bill in saying good morning to the people out in the parking lot, and good morning to the people following the live stream. And just God bless all of His people, wherever they may be and however they may be connected to services this morning. I'm going to finish up my kind of New Year's preaching today. Let me begin with a review of the previous two sermons. In the first sermon, looking back into the prophecy of Isaiah about the Babylonian captivity, we noted that when God is ready to do a new thing, the circumstances that have afflicted us for however long are no problem for Him. They may be raging flames of suffering to us. They may seem insurmountable to us, but God can snuff those circumstances like so many tiny candles. And when He is ready to do a new thing, we will be ready to walk that road through the wilderness that He makes. It happens on the big scale, and it happens on the small scale of our personal lives. Those things which seem so impenetrable to you are no barrier to God. And He can open the way when He is ready to do a new thing in your personal life. We saw that truth expanded as we moved into the New Testament book of Philippians. Then in the second sermon, I tried to make the point that in all circumstances, the very first thing God wants to change is us, me, you. And He walks with us through the fire in such a way that we come out of the flames better than we went in. They are for us a refining flame, not a destroying flame. And in all things, at all times, God works to change us. And we could use some changing, eh? And we followed this truth into the book of 2 Corinthians, where we are told that when we are in Christ, we become new creatures. Now, I want to finish this up today turning to the book of Revelation. And in large part, even more so than before, I'm only going to be telling you what I at least hope you already know. A hope you already cherish. And yet, in times like these, and these are quite some times, 2020 and already off to a great start in 2021, in times like these, it is more important than ever to go back and renew our stance upon the very foundational truth of our faith. Now, all that said, how many of you have been asked the question, what's new? Been asked. Dick Sutton always says to me, what's new and exciting, Dick says. What's new and exciting? And for people like me, that's sometimes a difficult question to answer because I am such a creature of routine and habit. Everybody knows my schedule. It's real easy. I got up this morning at 5:30 like I get up every Sunday of my life, and I was here before 7, and I did the same things, getting the building opened up, that I do every Sunday. And then I preached and taught Sunday school and came back to preach here. I will go home, have family lunch, come back, teach evening Bible study, go home and fall asleep on the recliner till Michael elbows me and says it's time to go to bed, just like every Sunday of my entire adult life. Tomorrow is Monday. This time of year, I'll process and haul scrap on Monday. That's what I do on Monday mornings. In the summer, I work in the garden on Monday mornings. My Monday routine is the same. When I get done with those chores, I come in and write my weekly reports. And these days, I write a blog that can be published at some point in the week. I always do those things on Monday. And my Tuesdays are just as predictable as my Mondays. You know, it's a little messed up these days in the pandemic because used to Tuesday and Thursday afternoons were the days I would go to the hospital to visit people, and I can't do that now. But other than that, I do the same things week after week. So Dick comes to me and says, what's new and exciting? And I usually have to say, well, but the day is coming. The day is coming when the answer to that question will be everything. Because he who is faithful and true has promised he will make all things new. You know, it's difficult for us to wrap our heads around the enormity, the total, unconditional inclusivity of that statement. All, nothing left out. All things, everything you can imagine, and some things that you haven't even thought of yet. All things made new. Perhaps I can share a few thoughts that will help us to begin to realize the expansiveness of this promise. It tells us that there will be a new heaven. Now, in the New Testament, that word is often rendered as a singular, a new heaven. I need you to understand that the same thought really continues from the Old Testament, where the word is shemayim, and it ends with an ayim, because that's the way you make a word plural. Only shemayim is one of a handful of Hebrew words that is always plural. One of the words for God, Elohim, there is no singular form. It's always plural. The word for the cherubs, cherubim, always plural. There is no singular form to just talk about one cherub. And when you say heaven, you say heavens. It's never Shammai, it's always Shemayim. And when they said heavens, they understood that there were three of them. They talked about what we would call the sky, where the birds and the clouds are. And they said that was the first heaven. And they talked about that place, the firmament, where the stars are. We think people of olden times were stupid. Even then, they knew that the birds and the clouds did not inhabit the same place as the stars. That was the second heaven. And they talked about that place that Paul would mention centuries later, when he said he knew a man, whether in body or spirit, he could not say, who was caught up to the third heaven and there experienced things. And Paul was not the first. A small handful of biblical prophets were brought before the throne of God. The third heaven, that place, which is the realm of God. The heavens. I say all this so that I can ask this question, well, which one is going to be made new? And my answer is all three. The atmosphere of our home will be new. And the firmament that we refer to as space will be new. And even that heaven which is the abode of God was touched by the rebellion of Satan, which is why Satan was cast out and cast down. Even that place will be made new. And I say this so I can begin to get us to understand the enormity of this promise, that all things will be made new. And under these new heavens, we are promised there will be a new earth. Now, one of the interesting things that it says about the new earth is that there will be no more sea. And we read that and we think to ourselves, you mean it's all going to be dry land? And I'm here to tell you that's not what it means. But we have to learn to think of it a little differently. Let me begin by stressing the difference between oceans and seas, because they aren't the same thing. The ocean, and there's really only one, and it's all connected. We divide it into regions, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, the Southern, the Arctic. But it's all one ocean. We generally divide it into five regions, the ocean. But the seas are those small, by comparison to the big ocean, small fingers of water that separate land from land. That little bit between South America and Africa. That little bit between Spain and Africa. Seas. Depending on which count you take, there are about 90 seas on the earth. Comparatively small bodies of water separating this bit of land from that bit of land. I tested this on two of my grandkids to see if they still teach this in school, and I asked Sam and Coda last night if they knew what Pangaea was. Turns out they did. They both knew what Pangaea was. Everybody recognizes, and you can see it instantly if you look at a map of the world, that it all used to be one big hunk of land. It all fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. And the Gulf of Mexico used to be occupied by what we would call now South America. And our nearest neighbors would have been the Venezuelans. And there was the time when if you lived in Virginia or Georgia or the Carolinas, for a few extra steps you could have been in Egypt or Ethiopia, places on the northern end of what we now call Africa. And here's the one that always really messes me up. Maine and Spain used to be the same place. When Maine and Spain were together, I wonder where the rain fell then. Only people of a certain age really understand the humor in that one. Here's what I want you to realize on the most fundamental, foundational level that you can imagine. Our world is broken. You can disagree about when and where it got broke. I will stick with the Great Flood. Some will disagree with me about that. But the world is shattered, ravaged, in some senses ruined. And the breakage came because of our sin. And it makes more difference in our lives than you realize at first. I read a few articles on this. Some of it is guesswork, but I think they have some pretty good understanding these days upon which to base these guesses. When all the land was together, one continent stretching from pole to pole on one side of the planet, when it was all together, there would have been hurricanes, maybe bigger ones than there are now, but they would have been an entirely oceanic phenomenon, regulating the temperatures of the ocean and troubling the land. Not at all. Earthquakes are the aftershocks of the breakage that descended on our planet due to sin. It is not for nothing in the 8th chapter of Romans that Paul says that the creation groans in its bondage, waiting to be delivered in our deliverance from the effects of sin. And I will submit that many of our problems of international hostility and isolation are in part the result of the breaking of our world due to sin. This is the place where we live, a broken home. But come the day, there will be no more sea, no more of those bodies of water that separate us from each other. And our home will also be made new, made whole. And on this new earth, beneath these new heavens, there will be a new Jerusalem, a new center, a new seat of world governance reigned over by Christ Himself. The world is broken. Again, when you look at the map, you can't avoid seeing it. But even where the land itself is not shattered, how many of you would agree with me when I say that Washington, D.C. is broken? And Moscow. And London. And Paris. Tegucigalpa. They're all broke. And they're broken for the same reason that the continents are broken. The seats of government are broken because of sin. You know, the last time the seat of governance for this world was whole is when it was called Eden. And man walked and talked directly with God. And God spoke to us like a parent to his children. That got broke too. Our fellowship with God. And we have been living with the tragic consequences of that breakage ever since. But the New Jerusalem will be the center of governance for a new earth under a new heavens, and it will all be new and whole. And Christ will reign directly. Which leads to the greatest part of the promise. God will dwell with his people. He will be in the midst of us. The promise that was implicit in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God taking flesh and coming down here, that promise will be fulfilled on the grand scale, and governance will be whole again at last. And some of the newness will be marked by the absence of things that were old, like tears, which will be gone, and sickness, which will be no more, and mourning, which will be uselessly relegated to the past, because there will be no more death. That's new. That's a situation we have not yet encountered. And lately, and as demonstrated in the prayer list this morning, we've had plenty of death to go around. But there will be no more. The former things will have passed away, and God will make all things new. Bill had a very good devotion this morning, starting out talking about the difficulty of discovering 8 people without issues. The second thing that I reminded myself of this morning was that there are no not messed up people. We are all messed up. We are all included in the brokenness that I have been describing. But the first thing that I reminded myself of this morning was this: God is good all the time. Amen. And how many of us have known blessings here and now through God's goodness? Well, amen. I'm glad to see that we agree in that testimony. But we know these blessings in the midst of a broken world in which the blessings stand out as exceptions to the general brokenness, because God is good all the time, but the world stinks because of all the breakage. Yes, we have hopes here and now, and God is good to His Word, but we must never forget our main hope is there and then, at the place and time when all things are made new, and I will be new. And you, and all who are included in the name of Jesus Christ, will be new creatures, governed from a new Jerusalem, on a new earth, underneath new heavens, with to us entirely new conditions. If this is not your hope, then I need you to go to another scripture for just a moment and grasp the real implications of what Paul meant when he said, if in this life only we have hoped in Jesus Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Yes, we have hopes here and now. But the basis of all our hopes is the day when all things will be made new. And I want, as I close, to do as I have the past couple of weeks and take you to the New Testament and just say this: I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able keep that which He has committed unto me against that day. I'm looking for the day. If you aren't, you could be.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton, all one word, .com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.